The title of my talk is Embracing the Growth to Your Higher Nature. You remember when you were in school and you learned the three R's? Well, Franklin Delano Roosevelt taught the three B's to speech making, and I'll share them with you. Be clear, be brief, be seated. So I will do my best to do all three. You know, when you're born, you received, well, you didn't, your parents received a certificate of your birth that showed how much you weighed and how tall you were. This tendency to measure your size continued into your childhood. I'm sure many of you had little pencil marks on the walls that indicated how you kept growing and growing and growing. As far as your height is concerned, we won't discuss any measurements of how your weight increased, especially if you've had a recent all-you-can-eat buffet. We won't discuss that. And I'll leave that one to the Jenny Craigs of the world in the $169 billion diet industry that might reach $279 billion in four more years. Okay? In school, teachers measured your intelligence quotient. But who measured your spiritual nature? Interesting question, right? Well, turns out about many centuries ago in India, there was a wonderful teacher named Patanjali. How many of you ever heard of this yogi name? Oh, wow. This is unity, of course. And he wrote a fabulous book called The Yoga Sutras. And what he did in this book was he explained the latent abilities that every human being has. He also presented techniques that you could practice and measure, in a sense, how much of your ability to manifest those abilities by the techniques you practiced. So is there kind of a measurement? You perform the technique and you see if you're responding with these latent abilities. By the way, I'll just share with you, one of those latent abilities is levitation. So if you actually started to notice yourself just a little bit of movement, you could measure how much correlation there was between your intention and your result. Okay, we call that the ability to manifest. Change is built into the nature of life. We have been measuring this growth and this change. The seasons change. Your body changes. Those of us who've reached into our 50s, 60s, and 70s can certainly attest to that, that our bodies change. Your mind changes, your belief changes, and so forth. In fact, the Buddha taught, coming out of the yoga tradition of India, he taught that all life is change. But that same tradition from which he emerged also teaches and understands that there's something that does not change, and that something is within us. They call it Atman. That's a Sanskrit word which means your own individual essence does not change. They say it's transcendental, meaning beyond the world of change, beyond your changing thoughts and your changing perceptions and your changing feelings. They call it your higher self, your higher nature. So what we have then is that our eyes see all that is constantly changing, but our eyes don't typically see that which is not changing. Just like if you go to a garden, you will see the tree has changing leaves and bark and fruit and so forth. But the root system, which is deep in the ground, we don't typically see. The experience of non-change is very possible, though, because what it is simply allowing our consciousness to settle into that which we truly are. It's been clearly described in the best book ever written about yoga, called the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means song of God. And it's that same experience of our true nature, that non-changing state, which is a fourth state of consciousness. They call it in the Gita Samadhi, which means steady mind. And they say, and this is chapter 6, verse 27, for those who want to look at this at home, for supreme happiness comes to the yogi whose mind is deep in peace, in whom the spur to activity is stilled, who is without blemish and has become one with Brahman. Brahman is their word for what we call God. Be still. If you gaze a little bit over onto this wall, you'll see how in the Old Testament, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." We can also say, "Be still and know your true self," because at that deepest level of stillness is what is revealed to be your true self, your higher nature. Christ taught of a kingdom of heaven, a realm beyond change, and he said in Matthew 6:19-20, he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Christian mystics who followed his work and his teaching and his love called the connection to this non-changing spirit ecstatic union. You may have heard of Meister Eckhart. If you didn't, you certainly heard of Eckhart Tolle, who took his name because of his inspiration from Meister Eckhart. And Meister Eckhart wrote, No one can attain this birth unless he can withdraw his mind entirely from things. When we experience that essence beyond time, timeless place, we understand that sort of koan, if you will, that Jesus presented us with. Some of you are familiar with the koans of Zen, but here's a koan from Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. I call it a koan because it doesn't make logical sense, but at the deepest level of your being, beyond logic, you get it. Because in that timeless realm, you realize that who you are is not what you see in the mirror. That's a reflection of your physical body. But your true nature has always been here and always will be here. Buddhism writer Edward Cones wrote, "Nirvana is permanent, stable, imperishable, immovable, ageless, deathless." Buddhist sages call this connection to that essence the fourth jhana. And in China, the great sage Lao Tzu wrote in the Tao Te Ching, "There is a being wonderful, perfect. It exists before heaven and earth. How quiet it is, how spiritual it is. It stands alone and it does not change." Taoists have called this connection to that Tsowang. Sufi mystics have called this state Fana. Different words in different cultures, in different traditions, but ultimately the same recognition that inside of us is this non-changing essence that, when experienced, brings peace. Now, meditation and deep prayer are the best-known methods we have for quieting the mind, quieting perceptions, allowing our breath to quiet down, and connect to and enable us to connect or embrace the growth of this consciousness in our mind. A moment of sharing. When I was 17, I had my first experience of meditation, and a few years later began to teach it. And what I can say without doubt is that meditation, when done effortlessly, and I'll talk about that a little later, when done effortlessly, allows spirit to direct the process of connecting to our inner being, allowing spirit rather than our own will to connect to to that essence in us. You know, psychologists have been saying for a long time that we're just using a part of what we are, maybe 10% of our potential. Yogis say that we completely ignore our higher self. So what might your life look like if you started to use more of that potential? What would your creativity be like? Your clarity, your sense of purpose, your intuition, your enthusiasm, your energy, your happiness. The spiritual experience of our higher self, that transcendent within us, is the connection to the universal in you. And not only is this experience not something to be afraid of, it's the most delightful, peaceful, joyous, natural, and utterly calm experience you'll ever have. You know, when I'm not teaching meditation, I work as a life coach, and one of the things I've noticed from so many people is the fear of change. How many of you have said at one point in your life, God, change scares me, it just really scares me? Yeah, just about every hand just went up. Now, let me ask a different question. How many of you like growth? I have news for you. You can't have growth without change. So it's kind of like, which part do you want to look at? Do you want to look, you know, it's like the old glass is half empty or half full. If you want to look at growth, it's a positive thing, but it involves change, which you think is a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. We have been changing and growing our whole lives. Life is growth. It's everything about life wishes to grow. In fact, our consciousness wishes to grow. We're looking for happiness all the time. And the beautiful and surprising news, maybe surprising, is that within us is what it is we've been looking for all these years, and for those who believe in reincarnation for all these lifetimes. So we know that as Unity congregants, you know that a powerful technique to help you manifest more of what it is you're looking to manifest is affirmations. Or is the work of affirmations. Now this month, your theme is embracing change. And your affirmation is, you want to put that up there? There it is. My life is enlivened and enriched by a new perspective. Let's say that one time. My life is enlivened and enriched by a new perspective. And I'd like to share two more with you. Let's see if we can get them up there. There we go. I now embrace the growth to my higher nature. Let's say it again. I now embrace the growth to my higher nature, even if it involves change. Because it does involve change. It involves a good change, a wonderful change. And I have one more. Let's see if we can get that one up. There it is. Living from my higher nature brings me peace, happiness, and success. How about another time? Living from my higher nature brings me peace, happiness, and success. Good. So, let's talk about ways to develop a new perspective that will help us embrace this change, this growth to your higher nature. One thing that's important is to transform any belief that we might have, either consciously or unconsciously, about change. Because we saw moments ago that there's a lingering fear about change. So what I would like to recommend is when we use affirmation, as powerful as it is to repeat an affirmation, it's also very powerful to let go of whatever resistance shows up when we affirm that. So if we affirm, for example, that I now embrace the growth to my higher nature, and there's a thought that pops up in our head that says, but I'm scared, or I don't know what my higher nature is, or whatever the thought might be, allow yourself to actually write that down. If you're writing affirmations, literally write it down, because what it does is it releases it. In the afternoon workshop downstairs at 1, I'm going to go into teaching how all that works. It's a little more than we have time for here. But that's an important step, to let go of that thought that obstructs the affirmation from bearing fruit. So I, in doing some research for this talk, I found some really fascinating quotes about change and how throughout history people have been fearing it. So I want to share those with you. One is from Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. He said, taking a new step, uttering a new word, is what people fear most. And yet we've been doing that all our lives, right? From the time we started to walk. It's amazing. We started to walk. Where did that idea come from? Right? Our parents didn't teach it to us. We weren't even able to learn things very much at that age. But something in us, some desire for change, like crawling, like, come on, we got to get past this crawling thing. And somehow we had the courage to stand up and hold the table. And then to let go. And then to take a step. Where did that come from? It comes from within us. This desire for growth, expansion. That's the nature of life. I'm not a physicist, but those who understand the Big Bang, like complete expansion. That's the nature of life. Paulo Coelho wrote, people felt too frightened to take a step outside the invisible regulations that guided everyone's lives. And my favorite quote about this subject comes from Jeanette Caron, who wrote, comfort and the fear of change are the greatest enemies of success. I want to repeat that because it's really powerful. Comfort and the fear of change are the greatest enemies of success. So we need to let go of this idea that change is like something negative. There is nothing greater than the ability to keep growing. This afternoon, I'm gonna in my workshop, I'm gonna share with you a way to not only to let go, to understand the letting go of the resistance to the affirmation, but then how to transform that resistance. So here's my question. I have some questions to ask here. Do you know what your higher nature is in the area of your spiritual life? Like, what would your spiritual life look like if you were living from your higher nature? That's a thought to think about, to see what that would look like. Would love be more abundant? Do you know what your higher nature would look like in the area of your career? In other words, would you be doing what you're currently doing? If you're on purpose, the answer is yes. But if not, what else would be to replace that would be more consistent with who you are? And what about in the area of your I want to say on that one, because you know what we do for a job or an income, we call a livelihood. But when you do what is coming out of your soul, and that's what you bring into the world, your livelihood. Oh, how nice that the air conditioning stopped. Perfect timing. Your livelihood becomes your lovelihood. And that's a tremendous shift and expansion. So relationships look like with your significant, what would your relationship look like with your significant other if you were living from your higher nature? Would your marriage look different if you were fully connected to your higher nature? Might the expression of love be deeper, more intimate, more frequent? Do you know what your higher nature is in the area of your relationship with your friends? How would your friendships deepen? How might they be enriched if you were connected to your higher nature? Might some friendships that have fallen off or eroded be reborn and return into your life? And what about your body? What would your higher nature look like? What would your body look like or feel like if you were living from your higher nature? When you gain a clear sense of what your higher nature is in these important parts of your lives, you can begin to practice techniques to help manifest them. Those who like words probably do best with affirmations. Those who like pictures will probably do best with visualization. Those who are more religious by nature will probably do best with affirmative prayer. Each of these are marvelous techniques to allow us to get from where we are to what it is we wish to manifest. And remember that manifestation in involves growth. This afternoon at 1, I'll be teaching downstairs a workshop called Embracing the Growth to Your Higher Nature. Notice that word, embracing. It's a beautiful word. Growth, beautiful word. Higher nature, beautiful words. In it, I'm going to present what I like to call higher nature yoga. We all know what yoga is, but this is what I'm calling higher nature yoga because it involves a series of very practical and easy to do exercises, not physical exercises, mental exercises, that you can do in just a few minutes every day to help you manifest the life you've always dreamed about, or maybe even didn't dream about. You know, sometimes we're so busy living our lives, handling our chores and our responsibilities, that we even forget that there's much more that we're capable of creating, much more we're capable of manifesting. That last song we sang was so brilliant. Is it possible to put those words up again? David Ault's song. Every single word in that song, look at that. I'm here to remind you of your magnificence, to help you awake to all the wonder that you are. I long to show you all the joy you're worthy of. I'm here to remind you how much you're truly loved. You know, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Lao Tzu, all Muhammad, all these great teachers, that's what they were doing. And that's the nature of, they were more than meeting us halfway, as one of the other songs said, encouraging us to realize our higher nature. Because when we realize our higher nature, we live out of joy. We live from peace. What's that? That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. How many of you have found that meditation is difficult? Yeah, right. And that's really sad. That breaks my heart because as a teacher of meditation since the age of 20, so I've been teaching now for 10 years. All right, 15. All right, 15 years. I guess the body does change, doesn't it? You know, it's a funny thing. When you go to meditation is designed to bring our awareness from the individual part of who we are, the changing thoughts and feelings, to that non-changing essence in us, to the universal in us, to bring about another state of consciousness, that fourth state of consciousness they call samadhi and so on, and all the other words that I shared with you earlier. And yet it's so funny that we use effort to do that because we know 365 times a year and all the years you've been alive, you've been changing your consciousness every night. You go to bed, you turn off the light, you put your head on a pillow, you lay down on a bed, and something natural takes place. We call it going to sleep. It's a shift in consciousness from waking to sleeping, and it happens completely naturally and without any effort. And any effort you use to do that will only keep you up longer. Right? Because we allow, we surrender, we let go to a higher force, the higher power, to God, to nature, to the universe. Right? And then once you're asleep, you start to dream. And that occurs, that shift in consciousness from dreamless sleep to sleep, from dreamless sleep to dreaming, also takes place without any effort. And then it goes back to dreamless sleep. And then if you don't have a phone to wake you up, there's a concept we didn't have. When I first started teaching here at Unity, there was no such thing as a phone to wake you up. But now we have phones to wake us up, and we have children and grandchildren to wake us up, and dogs and cats. But if you don't have any of those, and you just get up what we call naturally, meaning nature gets you up or spirit gets you up, it all occurs without any effort on your part. And this has been happening every single day of your life. And so it's ironic to me that meditation, which is the shift from normal, what we call normal waking consciousness, to that deep peace of samadhi, somehow it got confused to involve effort, when in fact it's only by letting go and letting spirit direct the process that it can be successful. So that's something I'll share with you in the workshop this afternoon, how meditation is really designed to be effortless. I'll also share with you that three-step method for empowering affirmation so that it can really begin to become a reality in our lives. Well, there comes the air conditioning again. But it's a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to be here with you today and to really invite you to embrace the growth to your higher nature, because that's why you're here in this body, is to gain the freedom, the joy, the peace that Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and all the great masters of the past have been inviting you to enter. And that choice is yours. At any moment, you can make that choice. So it's been a pleasure. The workshop will be at 1 o'clock downstairs if you can't make it. I have some things over there in the lobby I can share with you that might make a difference for you. So one more thing I want to share. This is a magnificent place. I've been here through about 4 different ministers over the years. And I just want to encourage you to recognize how sacred this place is. And just from me to you, see if there's something you can do to help allow this place to continue to flourish, to continue to be here and to prosper, and know that abundance is the true nature, not only of you, but of this building and this all the people who are here. So prosperity is the nature of this place. So I thank you, and I encourage you to enjoy the change of the seasons.